Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
Good morning, church. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to those of you here, those who are watching online. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on this day after Christmas. So this will be a Christmas message this morning. And as we approach a message like this, especially one where we're, you know, most of us, all of us are believers and we all love Jesus. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And I know you guys on watching online, you all love Jesus too. You know, this is a time of remembering and reminding ourselves, you know, what this is all about. You know, I love Christmas. I love getting together. I love all the traditions. I love all the aspects of it. But I think it's a good idea for us to step back and say, okay, what is this all about? And remind ourselves. We did a little bit of that on Friday night. It was a really cool time. One of my favorite services of the year is the Christmas Eve service. Blessed for all of those that were here. If you missed it, you can watch it online. But here we are, day after Christmas. And one of the traditions associated with Christmas is the giving of gifts, right? Anybody knows that? Okay, you know, that's kind of like, okay, it's like an absolute. There will be gifts exchanged. You know, and if we're being honest, the reality is one of the challenges as parents is to teach the kids that that's not what Christmas is all about, right? You know, that we sometimes get caught up in the buying and the wrapping and got to make sure the tree has lots of things under it and all that stuff. And we have to deliberately focus on helping our kids to understand. You know, we as adults, we need to be honest and say, you know what, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Because we can get distracted by all the preparations, you know, getting the house ready for, you know, guests and, you know, cooking the food and all of that stuff. And it can get to a point where we get distracted away from the main thing. And we sometimes allow our emotions to get, you know, twisted up because, you know, sometimes it can be hard just to keep our mind and our heart in the right place. The reason for the season is not the gifts. It's not for the gifts we give and receive, but it's about the gift that God gave to the world. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But first, let's pray about it, that gift. We thank you, Lord God, for the greatest gift that has been ever given to the world. And it was the gift of your Son. And as we celebrate Christmas, all the other stuff ought to fade away into secondary things. And there is one primary thing that supersedes and rises above it all. And that this time is about you, Jesus, about your birth and the significance and the meaning and the reality and all the aspects of what that birth means to us. And so we take this time today just to remind ourselves. Even though we all know these things, even though we all know the truth, even though we all know that who Jesus is and what his birth means to us, it's a good idea for us to sit back and remind ourselves again just what it's all about. And so we give this time to you now, Jesus. Open our hearts to receive what you would say to us, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love gifts. Kelly will tell you, I love giving, I love receiving, I just love gifts. It's probably one of my love languages, I guess. Kelly would say it absolutely is. I like gifts that are thoughtful, right, that are useful. I like those kinds of gifts. I mean, we've all gotten gifts that we look at and say, okay, thank you, I think. I'm not sure what you're trying to communicate with this particular gift. You know, why? I don't know why you're giving me deodorant for Christmas. You know, what are you trying to say? It's useful. I'm not sure it's very thoughtful. You know, but even the most thoughtful and useful gifts that we can get, they are not going to last forever, right? They won't be useful forever, right? Things break. They wear out. Our taste and styles change, and our interests change. Stuff changes. We change. You know, our size changes. We grow out of them. And those gifts that were once so thoughtful, so useful, stop being so. And what happens to them? We might sell it. We might throw it away. It might break. We might end up in the garage where it will collect dust for the rest of eternity, possibly. If you do a search on the internet for the perfect gift, anybody ever done that? You're not going to find it because there are literally hundreds of thousands of perfect gifts. And guess what? They're all different. And every year, there's a whole new batch of perfect gifts that come out. But is there such a thing as a perfect gift? One that never wears out? One that outlasts changes of style, changes of taste, changes of interest, that just never wears out? Not only never wears out, but is universally accepted, universally needed and useful for all of humanity. And we know the answer to that. As Christians, the reason why we give gifts, the reason why we give gifts at Christmas, as imperfect as they are, because ultimately every gift you give, no matter how thoughtful, no matter how useful, is imperfect, because we live in an imperfect world, is to celebrate the perfect gift that we have all received. That ought to be the reason why we give gifts, because we have already received the perfect gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave the gift of his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son as a gift to whom? The whole world. And he gave it freely. He gave it to strangers and enemies. Romans 5:10-11 says this, for if when we were enemies, and all of us would be in that category before Christ, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. We celebrate the birth of Christ because it led to the death of Christ. The birth of Christ was the manifestation of God in the flesh. David talked about that. The reality that God was I don't remember the term or the word, but he was pleased. I think he was pleased to take on human flesh. That's right. If you really just sit back and really focus your heart and mind on that, that ought to blow you away. God in his perfection took on human flesh in its imperfection. It just blows me away that he would come and walk among humans like us. And he did it because it was the only way that we could receive the ultimate gift, and that is that gift of eternal life. And the only condition for that gift is that it must be received to be effective. It isn't just, dropped on your doorstep. You have to receive it. You have to accept it. Ephesians 2:8 tells us what is required for that. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This gift of God, this gift of Jesus Christ that is manifested to us, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and we're also in a few months going to celebrate and recognize or remember the death of Jesus Christ. I don't know if we celebrate it. there's an aspect of celebration because it's so important to us. But it comes in, it has three different components, three aspects of this gift that we need to always remind ourselves of. First is grace, then the aspect of salvation, and then there's the aspect of faith. All three of those are important to us. First one is grace, the unmerited favor of God. When we as humans give gifts, there's always a reason. There's always some motivation why we give gifts. We give gifts because there may be a sense of duty. I have to give this person a gift. For some reason, we feel compelled we have to give a gift. Or it might be to avoid the consequences of not giving a gift. Like, you know what? Aunt Kelly will be mad at me if I don't give her a gift. She won't be. But, you know, we sometimes think our way through that. Okay, I better or else. Or we might do it to curry favor. You know, I'm going to give Randy a gift so that he'll like me. You know, whatever it's going to take. Yeah, we might be tempted to say, oh, no, Pastor. I only give gifts as an expression of my love. My love. Unfortunately, there's something inside of us that messes that up. There's that sin nature in us. There's nothing that our lives touch that are perfect. Even those expressions of love are not perfect. Even though we do our best and we should always try to do it, we are seldom truly successful at absolute selflessness when we're doing anything, including the giving of gifts. But when God does it, it's absolutely perfect. God is When he expresses his grace, when he gives his grace, it is totally one-sided. It is totally God-sided. It all comes from him. It's all because of him. He's the motivation behind it. He is the power behind it. He is the objective behind it. He is all of it. He does it for his own reasons and his own purposes. And because he is perfect, holy, and righteous, all of his purposes and reasons are holy, perfect, and righteous. All of them. So when he gives a gift, it is always perfect. God's grace, the unmerited favor of God. Jesus didn't come to this world because you're so awesome. And that God thought you so much of you that he was going to send Jesus for you. He sent Jesus for you because that was what was right for him to do. That was a perfect holy thing to do. Oh, there's a benefit for you in it. You get to be saved, which is our second component of God's perfect gift, salvation. The gift of God saves us. Well, what's implied in that? Well, something implied is that there's something to be saved from. There's some reason that we need salvation. Who needs salvation? Everyone. All of you sitting here, all of you watching online, anyone's going to watch, and even those that aren't watching, they all need salvation. They need to be saved from something. And that something was described to us when Mary originally got pregnant. We know the miraculous story of her getting pregnant. Well, her fiance, future husband, you know, was kind of a little bothered by that. You know, she was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. And so that bothered him. We can relate to that, right? We can understand that. So an angel appears to him. Matthew 1, verse 20 and 21 says this, but while he thought about these things, like, okay, what am I going to do? I've got a fiance who's pregnant, and I'm not the father. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Mankind has a problem, and all mankind has the same problem. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When it says all, who is it referring to? Everyone. Everyone, even the most holy-looking and acting people They all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and they need God's gift, that gracious gift of salvation. There are three components of salvation that we don't want to miss here either. First, we have been saved from the penalty of sin, past tense. There is a cost for sin, right? There is a price. The Bible says very clearly, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. When? Always. For what sin? All of them. Any of them. Pick one. Pick all of them. They're all, for any one of them, if you live a perfect life for your entire life and commit one sin, there's only one possible result that comes out of that, and that's death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The gift, the unmerited favor of God, is that the penalty for our sins was taken away. There's a scripture that says that our sins were nailed to the cross with Christ. Which ones? All of them. That when his blood flowed down, it covers over every one of our sins and takes them away. And by receiving that free gift, that gift of by faith, by receiving that gift, we can live with the full assurance that every one of our sins, past, present, and future, has been paid for by Jesus on the cross. Every last one. We never have to worry, am I forgiven? Am I okay with God? If I believe in Jesus Christ, yes. I'm not going to have to stand before God and give an account for my sin because Jesus already did that. So we've been saved from the penalty of our sin. Second, we have been saved, past tense, from the power of sin. Gosh, should we? I mean, we could spend sermon after sermon talking about the immensity of this gift that God has given us. And we do talk about it. We talk about it all the time. But we have been saved from the power of sin, from the penalty. We don't have to worry about God judging us. That's done because Jesus took our judgment to the cross. But we also have been freed from the power of sin. We no longer have to sin. That's such a beautiful thing. The moment we received God's gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit took up residence within us and then empowered us to live a very peculiar life. Peter talks about it, 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, meaning don't be like you were. You can be different than that. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is calling us as believers to be as holy as he is. Wow. How holy is God? All the way holy. Whatever that total, whatever that completely means, he is perfectly holy. You know, humanly, we'll never be able to wrap our minds around what that actually means, but that's what God's calling us to. And I know from a personal standpoint, that's humbling to me, because I know Rick. Kelly knows him really well, too. He's not that holy. Not as holy as God. But I know I have within me the power to be better, to be holy. And when I'm not, I recognize, okay, that's on me. And I can humble myself before God, and I can repent of my sins. And the Bible says when I do that, that God is faithful and just to cleanse me of my sin, all of it. You don't have to sin anymore. No one has to sin anymore. And I love the fact that because of this gift, that I am not a slave to my desires. I'm not a slave to my passions. I'm not a slave to what the rest of the world is doing. I'm not a slave to other people's opinions or attitudes or desires. I can be free to walk humbly with my God in absolute holiness. We don't have to sin. And as our faith grows, we should be sinning less. And it's a great test. If you're not sinning less than you used to, that might be a problem with your faith. Your faith might need to grow some more. Every time we stumble in our faith, every time we stumble into sin, every time, it's always an issue of faith. We're going through James and we're talking about that. That's what it's all about. It's all about faith. As our faith grows, we should be sinning less. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin, but you should be sinning less. Amen? Third, so we're going to be saved from the penalty. We have been saved from the penalty. We've been saved from the power. And so we need to walk by faith in that reality. Third, we will be saved, future tense, from the presence of sin. As believers, we all have the same hope. We hope, we share this hope, and something the world does not have, that this world is not all there is. The rest of the world is living in this the futility and the hopelessness that this world is all that there is. Gosh, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine because I used to believe that. That this was all there was. And there was it's so shallow and you know, come to things like Christmas and the futility of buying a bunch of gifts that, you know, if you're an adult, you know that within a relatively short period of time, these gifts aren't going to be important to anybody. You're going to forget, or they're going to break, or, you know, they're going to be replaced by other, you know, toys and things like that. All that was all there was. And it was like, okay, it was, you know, turned Christmas into this, okay, this momentary celebration that was always had this shadow attached to it of the futility and the pointlessness of it. Not to mention having to deal with those weird relatives that showed up at family gatherings. We have the hope of heaven. We know heaven is real. We know that when we've received the gift, that free gift from God, that heaven becomes ours. I hope I'm going to heaven. No, it's a hope that has not been fully realized yet, but it's a present tense reality pointing to a future reality that we can absolutely cling to. I don't have any question that the moment, the instant after my last breath on the earth, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord for the rest of eternity. And I have no question about that. And I trust in that. And that allows me to live this life. And one of the things that makes me excited about that is heaven, I think, is going to be just amazing for two main reasons. One is the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is going to be everything, but it's also going to mean the absence of sin. Everything that's bad in our world, everything that's bad in our lives because of sin, it's all going to be gone. Now, we can't imagine that. There's no way to imagine that because there's never been a moment in your life where you've been absent of sin. Not one. It's always been around us. It's either in us or around us, always. Heaven is real. And because we've received God's perfect gift, his son, we know that eternity is guaranteed for us in heaven. John 14, Jesus promised it, verses 1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go, Jesus speaking, to prepare a place for you. Believer, you could write your name in the margins there for that. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's a promise. And when Jesus makes a promise, what can you do? Believe it. Live by it, because it's true. No question. Yeah, that part of us, I don't know about you, but as my faith grows, I struggle more and more with the reality that there's still sin in my life. That bothers me. I'm more and more aware of it. I'm more conscious of it. And the more conscious I am of it, the more it bothers me. Not that necessarily I'm committing sin, that I'm doing sin, but there's a part of me that wants to. The part of me that thinks about it, the part of me that is inclined toward it, I have to by faith say, no, I'm not going to do that. And it bothers me that it's still there. You know, it's been a long time since I've uttered a curse word. Long time. Probably decades since I've literally let a curse word come out of my mouth. But I'll be just moving along, going through my day. Something will happen, and that darn thing will pop up in my brain. And like the devil whispering, here's a good expression to cover this particular thing. I'm like, where did that come from? Darn devil. No, I'd like to say that. Unfortunately, it probably comes out of the depths of my wicked soul somewhere. But God's going to clean all that out. It'll be gone. There'll be no inclination to sin in heaven. I love that. God's gift to us, his son, Jesus Christ, that he gives by his grace, his unmerited favor upon an undeserving world, he gives to us and saves us through that from the consequences of our own rebellion. The third component of God's gift is faith. It would be unfair of God to offer us a gift that we could not receive. That would be a very unholy thing, an unrighteous thing for God to do. So that we can receive this gift, God gives us the faith that we need so that we can. Because the only way that you can receive the gift of salvation is to believe. To believe that what God says here is true about this gift is in fact true. And not just true, but true for you. And so God gives us that faith, but when we have to act upon it. There is an aspect of our own self-will. There's an aspect of our own responsibility. We have to choose to receive the gift of faith and then walk in it. God loves us. God loves us all. He loves the whole world, it says, but he loves each of us individually as well. God knows your name. Did you know that? I'm nobody. Yes, no, you're not nobody, not to God. You're one of his children. He knows you by name. He's always known you. Long before you were conceived, long before, you know, there were anyone on this earth, he knew you. One of the mysteries of eternity and God's omnipotence. He knows everything. A few more things about this and then we'll be done for this morning. First, the gift of God is impossible to buy. How many of you remember the Furby toys from the late 90s? If you're old enough, some of you may not be old enough to remember that. It became the must-have toy of that Christmas. I don't know if you remember that. The world went insane over this silly, talking, furry thing. And, I mean, the stores sold out. The demand was 10, 15, 20 times higher than the supply, and people were buying them and then reselling them online for hundreds of dollars more than their retail price. It was insane. And if any of you got caught up in all of that, I'm sorry, because within 2 years, nobody wanted them anymore. They were whoop, took off, and then they crashed. I think didn't they have the resurgence after a while? They came back like 10 years ago or something like that. Everybody had to have them. You know, it became the must-have toy. And I remember there was a period of time, like, gosh, about 10 years, every year there was something, was the must-have toy. You know, and lately it's been video gaming systems, you know, whatever the newest video gaming system is, you know, everybody needs to have it, sort of a thing. And the world is not clamoring for God's gift. The world is not, you know, beating down the door of Christians saying, I need it. I need God's gift. Most of them don't want it. They don't understand it. The reality is they couldn't buy it even if they did want to. There's nothing you can do to get God to give you his gift. There's no amount of money that you can give to charity or the church. There's no act of service that you can do that somehow makes you worthy. You know, you can spend your whole life serving, you know, whatever, doing acts of service. It still doesn't make you worthy of God's gift. You can't be good enough. You know, you're like the good person. You can't be good enough to make God give you that gift. Paul tells us it's a free gift, Romans 5:15. But the free gift, what does it mean when it's free? That means you can't buy it. It's given freely. It's not like the offense, or if by one man's offense many died, that would be speaking of Adam, much more the grace of God. The gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus, abounded to many. The gift of God is impossible to buy. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, you cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot make God owe it to you. It can only be received freely through faith in Jesus Christ. You have to believe. Second thing, we're almost close. I don't know what that means. The gift of God is eternally satisfying. Turn to John chapter 4. I love this account. Yeah, we can always probably all of us think of gifts that we had to have at some point in our lives. There was something we had to have. I if I don't get that gift, if I don't get this thing, you know, oh no. And then think back, I wonder where that thing is now. And regardless of how good that gift was or how much money we spend on them, they rarely last a long time. And here in John chapter 4, Jesus is having a conversation with a woman who has struggled probably for her entire life to find what she was looking for. Her entire life, probably. At least her entire adult life probably started long before that. Jesus asked her for something. He asked her for a drink of water so that he could point her to what she really needed. I love this. I love what he does here with her. Pick it up in verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman was there. Why was she there? To get water, to satisfy a momentary need. And very often, people around us, that's all they're doing. They're living their life day by day, trying to satisfy some need that they can only satisfy for a moment, while missing the greatest need that they have, and that is the gift of God. Jesus is telling her, your soul needs more than just water. And the people around us are the same thing. They need more than whatever they're doing, whatever they're getting, whatever they think they need, they're desiring, they're wanting, all the gifts that are being exchanged, and all that stuff that's going on around us. They're trying to satisfy some need that they have, but they're doing it with very temporary things. No matter how good the gift is, no matter how much money they spend, no matter how much effort they put into it, it still is temporary. And they have a need that is so much greater than that, so much more eternal than that. And they need God's perfect gift. She didn't understand, verse 11. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? The answer to that is yeah, by a lot. And drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, pointing to the temporary nature of her satisfying her desires and needs and wants through all of the ways that she's lived her life. Her entire life she's lived with finding temporary solutions to her needs and wants. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Listen, this is what it's all about. You know, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. Do it. Be generous. Be thoughtful. And give gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. Just as long as those gifts don't distract us from God's perfect gift. God's perfect gift, his holy son. Listen, the world around us is doing everything they can to satisfy the needs that they have. And they're failing because they're missing the only thing that can satisfy them. You will never be satisfied with the things of the world until you are satisfied in Christ. Nothing will satisfy us. Apart from Christ, you cannot be fulfilled. You cannot be satisfied. You cannot be full. You cannot be happy. You cannot be at peace. You cannot experience any of the things that we all long for apart from Christ. And once we are satisfied in Christ, an interesting thing happens. We are no longer drawn to the things of this world to the way that we were. The things of this world no longer become the source of our satisfaction. We can enjoy them. We should enjoy the things of this world, you know, as long as we do it in the right way. But the need for those things starts to diminish and fade. You know, we're here as believers. Many of you I know watching online, most of you watching online are believers too. You've received God's perfect gift. It's yours. Nice thing about that gift, you never have to re-give it. But you can re-gift it. You can give it away to others. The purpose of this message is to remind us of God's perfect gift. We need to be reminded of that, right? Would you agree? That we need to be reminded of these basic things. Jesus is God's gift to humanity. It's an expression of his love given freely and perfectly. Christmas is past. It was yesterday. It's gone. We can't go back to yesterday, right? Don't talk to me about time travel. Not doing it. The gifts are all unwrapped, I'm guessing. The leftovers from, you know, the big meal are in their fridge. Pretty soon, we're going to be packing up all the Christmas decorations unless you're really super, you know, crazy and already did it. I'm sorry. I'm sure that probably offended somebody. Don't talk to me about it. See Randy? He's the one that made me say it. No, he didn't. God's gift that he gave to us. No matter what we do with the Christmas season and all the stuff and the whatever with Christmas, that gift is eternal. It's always satisfying. It's a universal for all of humanity. And as we go out from a time like this, we need to remind ourselves how desperately the world needs that gift. So that as we go out and we're celebrating and we'll still talk about Christmas for a few more days before people start focusing on other things, we have an opportunity still. I was picking up the donuts this morning. I wish the lady behind the counter, Merry Christmas! And she looked at me like, oh yeah, Merry Christmas! Like, what? That was yesterday. By the time we meet again, most of us, it'll be New Year. A new year. And I think I want to just say to us as believers, especially as believers, let's not forget. Let's not lose focus. Let's not get distracted away that God's perfect gift is not a December 25th reality for us. It's a 365 day a year reality. Tomorrow, next week, next month, people still need that gift. And one of the best ways that we can share that gift with others is to live the reality of what that gift means to us out for people to see it. And whenever we can, we need to tell them about it because they need it. They may not know it, but they need it. And I think I'd like 2022 to be radically different than 2020 and 2021. Somebody say amen. Man, can it keep going on? Yeah, afraid it might. But even if it does, the reality of the emptiness of the things of this world are going to become so much clearer to people. If it keeps going the way that it has been, people are going to see that, man, this is hard. They need this gift. They need the gift of hope. They need the gift of peace. They need the gift of Jesus Christ in their lives. And next year, they may, who knows how many might come to realize it as the stuff of this year continues on. You know, 2022, let it be a year where we are actively sharing God's gift with others. Amen? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for every opportunity we have to gather, and as we gather together as your people, we want to thank you for that gift that you've given us. And Lord, sometimes we live in such a way that we don't practice it the way we should. We don't acknowledge it. We don't appreciate it the way that we should. We take this time to remind ourselves how important that gift is. And we ask, Lord God, as we do that, Lord God, that if there's something in our lives that doesn't belong there, that we've allowed some distraction or something to take our heart and mind off the perfection of this gift that you've given us and the reality of what it means to us, that we would turn from that we would repent of it right now, that we'd confess it to you and allow you to cleanse us of that. That as we walk out of this place, we'd walk out as forgiven people because we've done whatever we need to do with you. And while there's everyone here, I believe, are believers, Lord God, we need to always ask the question. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, somebody watching online that doesn't know you, then that gift remains unopened in their lives, but it's there for them. They simply have to reach out to it by faith, believing that Jesus came and died for them. And they can have the same hope that we have. They can have the same empowering to live a life that is right and true. To live a life that is satisfying in you. Not in the things of this world, not in the things we might achieve or might attain in this world, but in the reality that we have the Son of God as our Savior, that our sins are forgiven now and forever, and that our home, our eternal home, is already being prepared for us in heaven right this very moment. That's a hope that we all have as believers, and that's a hope that anyone can have if they will put their heart in Christ right now. And so I pray, Lord, your Spirit would move upon your people either to tweak our hearts to be better in alignment with you or to change our hearts completely, to humble ourselves before you and to give our hearts to you completely. We ask, Lord God, for your Spirit to move. We thank you again, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus as a gift to humanity. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for all of the things that you've done in our lives. And as we go forward, I pray, Lord, that we would be quick to share that gift with others. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.